The evening edition of the Senate Committee on Governance and Finance. My understanding is that Senator Morlock, for the evening, it's a happy hour, am I right? You brought the margaritas tonight for, I guess that's a big no. Okay, thank you so much, Senator Morlock. Thank you very much. All right.
Margo bought the
call. All right, hey, there we go. But in all seriousness, we are grateful that all of you are here. We have two bills that we're going to be hearing today, AB 18, Mr. Garcia, as well as AB 1031. We will have, Ms. Waldron will be unable to be able to present tonight, but we understand that Mr. Hertzberg will be presenting. And if Mr. Hertzberg is unable to present, it may be Mr. Morlock. So, but first, why don't we get to AB 18 and Mr. Garcia. There we go, Mr. Garcia. And I just want to take a moment to say thank you to Mr. Garcia for all of his hard work on this bond. A lot has been going on behind the scenes, and it's hard to be able to push and pull when it comes to a large bond like this, but it's about time. Very grateful for your partnership. I know there's been a lot of conversation between the Assembly and the Senate on this, and I just want to say thank you for your leadership, sir. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much. I will be brief. You have extensive information to the detail in terms of what the AB 18, California Clean Water, Climate, Coastal Protection, and Outdoor Access for All Act is intended on doing. What we have done here is taken a comprehensive approach, gone up and down the state of California, met with a tremendous amount of organizations associated with cities, counties, and other park coalitions to craft what would be a park bond, which my understanding it's been close to 15 years since we've made a park investment directly here in California. Something that would address both our urban and rural areas, something that would address through the per capita formula every city and county to get something from AB 18. At the same time, adding some language that would address some of our climate resiliency programs. At the same time, taking care of our coastal areas. And so we believe that we've crafted a bill that has been inclusive and, again, comprehensive to address the park needs of California. Just a couple last points. Outdoor economy of California in the $90 billion area employs somewhere in the range of 700,000 people. Extremely important when the question comes about if going out to bond has a good return investment. Again, $90 billion outdoor economy. 700,000 people that work in that arena. I think it speaks for itself. Respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you so much, Assemblyman. What we'd like to be able to do is have our witnesses be able to speak. You have 3 minutes, and I'll give you a one-minute prompt. So okay. We welcome you to the committee,
I won't need
sir.
3 minutes. Okay. Good afternoon, good evening. Rico Mastrodonato with the Trust for Public Land. The point I want to make in this committee is it's really hard for me to contemplate a better return on investment than a park project. These are not amenities, although they do, needless to say, improve the quality of life of Californians and improve community beautification. You get a lot of benefits. You get recreational benefits, human health benefits, public safety benefits, water resource benefits. These are the parks that can absorb. We have a park in San Francisco that absorbs and captures 99% of the water that hits the ground. Parks also protect us from climate change, severe weather events, where we have what we've seen in San Jose this year, what we're seeing in Houston right now. These are what protects us, absorbs the water, as opposed to having it running through the streets, air and water quality benefits. So when you add all that stuff up, it amounts to a big bang for the buck. So that's the point I want to make, and I really want to thank both park bond authors and all the work that they've done this year. So thank you very much. I urge an aye vote.
We're really grateful that you're here, sir. We're going to pause for a moment and introduce our president pro tem of the California State Senate, Kevin De Leon. As I thank Mr. Garcia when he started to present, I want to take a moment to say thank you to the pro tem. You've had an amazing tenure here in the Senate, and I have to say this is probably one of the most important endeavors that you have started out on. And you've made incredible progress, and we are so grateful for all the hard work when it comes to focusing on urban and suburban and rural areas of the state. when it comes to this park bond. We'd like to be able to turn it over to you, Mr. Pro Tem, because it has been an enormous amount of work to be able to get to where you're at here today with your bond as well, sir, if you don't mind.
Well, Mr. Chair, I want to thank you very much for your very kind comments with regards to my person. I want to give a very special thank you, very special recognition to the author of AB 18, Assembly Member Eduardo Garcia from Coachella in Riverside County. He has worked tremendously hard with many stakeholders across the board throughout the state of California to find common ground. I think when we produce a bond, I think there's going to be a lot of things in that bond that folks are going to like across the spectrum. It doesn't make a difference if you're Republican or Democrat, if you live in a rural, suburban, coastal, or urban area. With regards to the equity issue, which is something that Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia and I care deeply about, something that we share very passionately, the equitable distribution of parks to those communities that currently have very limited access to open space, to green parks, to per capita expenditures with regards to other localities throughout the state of California. I know Eduardo Garcia today in his committee that he chaired, we moved an amendment that he had offered, which brings more funding on a per capita basis. I think a lot of folks are going to like that. Something that I think is highlighted, I don't know if he's spoken about it, I'm sure folks will speak about it, please. But I'll speak on at least on his behalf, is both he and Senator Ben Hueso have been incredible champions and a true voice when it comes to the Salton Sea. Now, admittedly, for a very, very long time, many folks have tried to speak about the Salton Sea to no avail. You know, it's been a very difficult issue for folks to sort of comprehend. It's sort of far out there, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But the complexities of the Salton Sea, the potential environmental consequences of not mitigating the challenges, and also the economic opportunities that it presents us, have been articulated very passionately by Assemblymember Garcia and State Senator Ben Hueso. So obviously, the measures move forward with an increase with regards to the Salton Sea. There's a whole variety of other issues here dealing with flood control, not flood control in water, but other issues here as we aligned our measures together. One thing I just want to say very clearly, the Assembly and the Senate, specifically through the Chair of Parks, Water, and Wildlife, Eduardo Garcia, and I have worked very closely with each other, in concert with each other. I think when the dust settles, we'll be able to present a measure that everyone will like, and it's my hope, too, that many Republicans will also come on board as well, too. I know today we got a few Republican votes, I think largely because some of the behind-the-scenes work that Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia had already performed, which sort of made it much more easier to acquire that support. Obviously, on our side, we have secured the support of Mr. Wilk, Ms. Nguyen, as well as Mr. Berryhill and Mr. Canella. It's my hope that Mr. Morlock, I know he's a fiscal deficit hawk, very miserly when it comes to the purse strings of taxpayers.
Very practical.
You know, yeah. It's my hope that he can loosen up that purse string a little bit, and so we can provide the green parks and open space for our children, whether they live in Costa Mesa or Boyle Heights or Costa Mesa or Coachella, that they can have opportunities to have access to green space. I just want to come here, you know, just to share a few words, give a lot of credit and recognition where it's really deserved. And I want to thank my friend, Assemblymember Garcia. I want to thank you for your stewardship and leadership as being the head here, the lead for our local government financing, which is important for you in Sonoma and, mm-hmm. and other parts up north coast on issues on regional parks. But I want to thank you very much for your indulgence, Mr. Chair. And I would give my fullest support to making sure we take everything here and move it forward.
And it's not just because Mr. De Leon is here, but I got to say, every chance that he has to be able to talk about the need when it comes to parks, particularly in urban communities who are greatly underparked, you use. And you have been an absolute champion. You are tenacious and grateful for all your hard work, and we're grateful that you would join us here today. Truly.
Thank you. And the last thing I would probably say, and I think I speak on behalf of Mr. Garcia as well as myself and others, you're going to have a lot of folks in support, a lot of folks who wish it was bigger. I think this can be doubled, tripled, quadrupled, but we have to be fiscally prudent as well, too, and understand that we can't incur a gargantuan amount of fiscal bond indebtedness, that we have to take care of the taxpayers' purse strings, at the same time deliver real tangible goods that all individuals, Republicans, Democrats alike, can really enjoy for generations to come.
That's huge. Thank you so much, Mr. Pro Tem. We're really grateful that you're here. Hey, how you doing?
Good evening. My name is Tamika Butler. I'm the executive director of the Los Angeles Neighborhood Land Trust. Thank you, Chair, Committee, and thank you to both of the authors. You know, this has been a tremendous opportunity for us as advocates to come up to Sacramento and support something that means so much to us, precisely based on what you said, Chair, that the equity point of view. At the Los Angeles Neighborhood Land Trust, we actually build parks and run parks. So in addition to doing policy work, we actually understand the experience of what it means to bring a park to a community. We specifically focus on low-income communities of color. So someone like me, you know, from South Los Angeles with a father who grew up in the projects, we know that parks can be a matter of life or death. We know that parks are places where folks go to feel safe, and whether or not that's shooting a basketball or taking a walk and getting healthy or blowing off some steam for your mental health, the equity component is huge. And that's why, and you know, particular, we want to make sure the funding for AB 31 is really, really protected. You know, in 2008, a little less than $400 million was allocated for parks through AB 31, and the state got over $3 billion dollars of request. And so for us, it's really important to protect safe neighborhood parks and park poor communities, and to make sure that technical assistance, especially for disadvantaged communities, is truly, truly protected. And it's not just because it's the right thing to do, which it is. It shouldn't matter where you're from or what skin color you have to have access to a park, but it's also because we know that low-income folks of color are the same people who turn out. They're the same people who vote for these bonds, and they will vote for this. This is a winner, thanks to the assembly members' hard work. And so we just ask that you, you know, do for low-income communities of color what they do for all of us when they support.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here today.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, I'll be really, really brief. Doug Houston, I'm representing a very broad coalition, about 20-plus stakeholder interest here in the state, and they're dedicated to the principles of expanding access to the outdoors, more equal access to the outdoors as well. And I'm here to help answer questions if any do arise.
Thank you so much, Mr. Houston. Grateful you're here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open it up to all of you. We're going to ask if you could please keep your comments to your first and last name, your organization, and your stance on the bill. We're now going to be opening it up to those who are in support. We'll start with the Sierra Club.
Kyle Jones of Sierra Club, California, in strong support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Thanks for hanging tonight.
Hi, Jennifer Fearing on behalf of Defenders of Wildlife, the Humane Society of the United States, San Diego Humane Society, and the Pacific Forest Trust, in strong support.
Ms. Fearing's always working hard. Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Morlock, Mark Smith on behalf of the Association of Professional Landscape Designers, Tree People, Northern California Guides and Sportsmen's Association, Grassland Water District, and California Trout. Thank you.
It's good to see you, sir.
Alex Gibbs from Townsend Public Affairs, here today on behalf of the Desert Recreation District, the County of Imperial, cities of Oakland, Santa Ana, Fullerton, Walnut Creek, San Leandro, and Carson, the Orange County Conservation Corps, as well as the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo, all in strong support.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbs. Good evening.
Good evening. Melissa Immel with Scheyoder Antwi, here on behalf of Mayor Edwin Lee and the City and County of San Francisco, the City of Santa Monica, the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors, the Sacramento County Board of Supervisors, in support.
It's good to see you. Thank you.
Erin Evans on behalf of the League of California Cities, in strong support.
Thank Good you. To see you, Ms. Evans.
Roxanne Miller, City of San Jose, in strong support for the legislation, and particularly the funding currently in this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. Good evening.
Good evening, Chairman, members. My name is Alfredo Gonzalez with the Resources Legacy Fund, representing the Parks Now Coalition here in support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Good evening.
Good evening, Alfredo Arredondo, here on behalf of Latino Outdoors, Azul, the Nature Conservancy, Santa Clara Open Space Authority, the Lake Tahoe Alliance, as well as the Mountains Recreation Conservation Authority, all in strong support.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Jamie Goh on behalf of the Environmental Defense Fund, the Big Sur Land Trust, the Bolsa Chica Land Trust, as well as Trout Unlimited, in support.
Good to see you. Thank you. Hey.
Hello. Hi, Chair and members. Julie Kingsley representing the Natural Resources Defense Council, the Pacific Coast Shellfish Growers Association, and Heal the Bay, in strong support.
Thank you for being here.
Good evening. Corey Bullis on behalf of Friends of LA River and Ocean Conservancy, in support. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good evening. Gemma Wallen on behalf of the Save the Redwoods League and the California Association of Resource Conservation Districts, in support.
Thanks for being here. Good evening.
Good evening. Vivian Erickson on behalf of the Land Trust of Santa Cruz County and members of the Wildlife Corridor Working Group, in strong support.
Thanks, Vivian. How you doing?
Juan Altamirano with Audubon, California, and on behalf of the California Environmental Justice Alliance in strong support.
Right on. Thank you. Hey.
Hello. Genevieve Abaddon on behalf of the Surfrider Foundation, the Wishtoyo Chumash Foundation, Plastic Pollution Coalition, and Seventh Generation Advisors in support.
Thanks for being here. Good evening.
Hi, Amy Lethbridge, Community Nature Connection in strong support.
Thanks for being here, Amy. Hey.
Mr. Chair, Mark Fenstermaker for the Peninsula Open Space Trust and the Sonoma County Agricultural Preservation and Open Space District in support.
Thanks for being here. Good evening.
Good evening. Michelle Reyes on behalf of the California Travel Association as well as the California State Parks Foundation in support. Thanks,
Ms. Reyes. How are you doing?
Hi there, Mr. Chair and members. Russell Nowak on behalf of Mid-Peninsula Regional Open Space District and the California Association of Recreation and Park Districts in strong support.
Thank you so much. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Castro Estrada, Vice President of the Coachella Valley Water District, Salton Sea Authority Board Member in support.
Right on. Thanks for coming up. Grateful you're here.
Good afternoon again, Alfredo Redondo. I forgot two. Wildlands Conservancy, as well as, of course, the Mojave Desert Land Trust in strong support.
Right on. Thank you so much. Would anyone else like to be able to speak in support? Last call for those who are in support to please come forward. We now welcome those who may be opposed. If you are opposed, if you could please advance. Anyone who is opposed? All right. We're going to bring it on back to the committee for any questions or comments. Who would like to be able to kick us off? Please, Mr. Morlock.
Well, I don't want to disappoint the president pro tem.
So don't?
That much.
Okay, there we go.
I'm not opposed to this project, and I want to appreciate and share my appreciation for all your hard work. I'm just concerned about bonds in general and specific. So I have no questions about your proposal. I just have concerns about the state's fiscal situation. So we is the cup half full or half empty kind of a sure. deal? So we have the second largest unrestricted net deficit in the nation. New York just kind of beat us out because their auditors restated their financial statements. But we've got some good numbers on page 8 of the staff report. And it shows us, you know, near the bottom, we've got almost, you know, we're the third largest as a percentage of debt to personal income in the nation, at least for the 10 largest, most populous states. But this would probably fall to be accurate for all states. And we also have one of the highest debt per capita. And we also have one of the highest debt as a percentage of state GDP. And I was able to get all the bonds that have been issued since 1974, thanks to ballot measures. And we haven't even started issuing debt on the $9 billion we approved last year for schools. We've approved them, but the governor hasn't issued $1 of debt. So I'm a little concerned about the number of bonds that are coming before us. And so having managed a rather large portfolio, Mr. Chair, as a county treasurer, a county with a population greater than 20 states, I had did a lot of economic research. So I'm starting to see things that we saw before the credit crunch in the mid-2000s. We're seeing an affordability index that is at its worst. You know, when people cannot afford to buy homes, that's an index we need to be careful to watch. We also have debt limits for individuals at their highest nationally and in the state. So when that starts to happen, when people are spending so much of their income on just housing, as we know, we're watching people in Silicon Valley spend half their income on just paying rent. That means they're not spending money on other things, appliances, cars. Car sales are down. So those are the things that I'm looking at that kind of pretend that there might be an economic downturn. So if we issue the debt, and yeah, you might say we're putting people to work and it's putting money into the economy, but we're going to have fixed costs. And we're going to see if our economy slows down that our personal income tax revenue declines. And that's our major source of revenues in the state budget. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm not here to be a downer, but I'm just saying I got to look at it from the 30,000-foot level and say what's best for the state. And so if we have a downturn, a bond payment is a fixed cost. And so that means something else is going to get pushed out. It means maybe layoffs of state employees. Who knows what it may mean. So those are the concerns that I have. I just don't know if I want to hamstring the budget for future legislators or future generations, because we're still paying debt from 1974, and it's 2017. So what will happen is you'll probably have to have another tax increase to pay for the bonds to make everything fit, and you and I will have the joys that we had when we were supervisors through a, you know, great recession, or at least in my county, I had to lay off 1,000 employees, which was not a pleasant experience. So that's, maybe I'm just kind of, you know, have my fingers burned touching the oven or what. So I'm just kind of saying I'd like to be cautious. And I think we need to start looking a little differently at these projects in our current budget. What are we doing to set money aside every year? And the answer is we're not doing anything. We're not spending more for transportation. We've been level for 13, 14 years. You know, so we need to focus on how our budget is operating. So for that reason, I have no questions. I just have a concern, being the pill in the room, like the President Pro Tem had kind of hinted at. So I'll be opposed, but not because it's not a good project.
No, thank you so much, Mr. Morlock. Why don't we go to Mr. Bell for any comments? Oh, I thought you did. I apologize.
No.
Okay. And I want to say thank you to Mr. Bell because he has three things going on at once. So really, really grateful that you're here, Mr. Bell. If it's okay with folks, I'd like to be able to hit the pause button because we do have a quorum. So I'd like Ms. Lanchester to please call the roll.
McGuire.
Here.
McGuire present. Wynn. Bell.
Here.
Bell present. Hernandez. Hertzberg.
Here.
Hertzberg present. Laura Morlock.
Present.
Morlock present.
Thank you so much. We do have four members present here today. We do have a motion on the floor. I just have some very quick comments. And it came from a meeting that we had today with Mr. Bell. And as much as we talk, because I'm going to talk a little bit about the affordable housing and how this relates with the bond. But one of the items, the numbers that Mr. Bell has crunched, and I don't want to steal that thunder. But when you take a look at just the tax revenue,
that's, I'm nervous right now.
Okay, that I know. Mr. Bell is going to be in a fashion show, ladies and gentlemen. So it's going to be amazing.
Women in transportation.
Would you like to practice here today?
No.
Okay. Hey, there we go. All right. All right. Here we go. Okay. Hey, there we go. But we take a look at what this money is going to do in our economy, sexy. The total net cost of the housing bonds are going to be about $25 million a year. And we're putting $4 billion to work in our economy, putting tens of thousands of individuals to work. And that's the same thing that we're doing right now with transportation. For every billion we spend, we get 14,000 full-time equivalent jobs. And we take a look at the desperate need, whether it's in urban centers here in California or rural areas where I represent. There is a desperate need when it comes to park funding. And we have a deficit when it comes to deferred maintenance projects, and we also have a deficit when it comes to acreage, when it comes to parks. And that's why I want to say thank you for all the work. And yes, there is going to be some financial sacrifice, but what we cannot continue to do is ignore the problem. And as much as I'd like to be able to see additional dollars coming into Northern California, when you take a look at our urban centers, they have some of the greatest needs when it comes to parks. What I appreciate is that there has been some work for the Coastal Conservancy that's in this. Two different numbers, $95 million, which is currently in Mr. Garcia's bill, $110 million in the Pro Tem's bill. I like the Pro Tem's a little bit more. So in those ongoing discussions in regards to the Coastal Conservancy. And the other piece that I really appreciate that both bonds also have language in regards to salmon. Salmon will be extinct on the Sacramento in 10 years. And we've gone from 500,000 landings 10 years ago to just 50,000 this past year. And it's one of the most iconic and oldest fisheries that we have in the state. And this bond will allow for salmon restoration in some of the coldest water habitats in the state. So I want to say thank you so much for your leadership on that. I'm going to stop talking. I'll be supportive of this bill. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Garcia for any closing comments.
Just thank you. You know, the comments have been well taken, both from you and your two colleagues here on the board. You know, the one thing that I could tell you is that the way this bond is set up is that via the per capita formula or the pot set aside for disadvantaged communities or the other area that addresses some of the rural areas of the state, like everyone's going to get something. And the neat thing about, you know, for Senator Morlock is even though he may not vote for it, his communities and his district are still going to get something. And, you know, I feel good about that because what we've done is we've established a legislative package here that is based on equity. And we know that everyone's going to get something from the 2018 Parks for All. And so with that, I will just ask your aye vote. And we're getting closer to merging both Senate Bill 5 and AB 18 and hoping that the policy aligns so that, again, every region of the state is able to get something from this investment that we're making. I'll just say, lastly, $92 billion outdoor economy, 700,000 jobs, I think is a big, big win and a good return on the investment. Respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you so much, Mr. Silliman. We have a motion by Senator Bell to be able to move AB 18. Ms. Lanchester, roll call vote, please. This is a due pass to appropriations.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Wynn. Bell.
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hernandez. Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Lara. Morlock.
No. See you later.
Morlock, no.
3-1.
We currently have a 3-1. We're going to keep the bill open, and we're going to keep working Mr. Morlock here until it gets to the floor, so watch out. Thank you so much. We are going to need Mr. Lara, if we could be calling Mr. Lara, please. And again, Mr. Bell, thank you so much for making a special trip back as well for this bill. So you're good to go. We're good. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now moving on to AB 1031. I do believe that 1031 has bipartisan support, which is the personal income taxes pitch hitting for Great Assemblywoman Waldron. We do have fantastic senator.
Senator, fantastic senator.
The man, the myth, the legend.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Mr. Hertzberg, the floor is yours.
Yeah, she asked me to present this because we have been working together with Senator Morlock on this whole tax checkoff system. The earlier version of the bill related to voluntary checkoff fund for native wildlife rehabilitation. It's now back with a very important amendment extending it to rare and endangered species preservation fund. It's set to expire January 1st, and we want to continue it, expand it, and modernize it. And so this is kind of the larger dynamic it set forth in your analysis. Hey, sir, how are you? Welcome to this. Today I have Jennifer Fearing, of the sponsor of this measure.
Thank you so much. We do have bipartisan support on this bill. So, Ms. Fearing, if you don't mind keeping comments brief.
I will be happy to do that. The San Diego Humane Society, which is sponsoring this bill, is grateful to Ms. Waldron, who responded to a request from the Department of Fish and Wildlife to add to this bill a provision that would extend this important source of revenue for the Department of Fish and Wildlife's work on rare and endangered species. $500,000 a year was in jeopardy if we didn't extend it. So we're grateful to this committee for allowing us a chance to make this right before session closes. So I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
As always, thank you so much for all your wonderful work. It's good to see you. Let's open it up for those who are in support. First and last organization.
Juan Altamirano with Audubon, California, in support.
Thanks for hanging with us, man. Anyone else like to be able to speak in support of AB 1031? Anyone else in support? Now would like to invite any individual who may be opposed. Ms. Fearing will throw a chair at you if you do get up. I'm kidding. Hey, there we go. Anyone who is opposed, let's bring it back to committee, and we'll go to Mr. Morlock.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the bill.
All right. We have a motion on the floor on AB 1031.
And I had just some comments.
Absolutely.
Because we're out of space now. So is Diane from FTB here?
She is. She is okay. Ready. She's
okay.
Excited.
Thank you, Diane, for working overtime. Mr. Chair and Mr. Hertzberg, I'd like to work on a bill this fall that somehow addresses the space problem on the Form 540 and
right.
Work with Diane.
Smaller type.
Yeah, well, there's some issues with that. And so we'd like to, unless you or Senator Hertzberg want to take that on, I'd like to volunteer since I've been bringing it up so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
We talked about this last year. Let's see what she has to say about space. That's a good question.
Oh, right now, I mean, we would, if we got too many on the form, right now we would go to another page.
Yeah.
And
the 540 is already, what, five pages?
Right. Yeah, one full page right now is the voluntary contributions, right?
Yeah.
So we'd be happy to work on a project, get the information that you need and everything.
I think it's a fair question.
We want to work on something that highlights all those that we've approved, but also maybe provides an opportunity to allow others to come on by just putting in a number for them, maybe their tax ID number or some other form or some kind of, so if the state has a list of bona fide nonprofits like the IRS does? That would be real helpful.
So what I'd like to be able to suggest is that we are most likely going to have a hearing, an interim hearing in either November or December of this committee on a follow-up to our Ghost Ship Fire hearing that we had earlier this year. What I'd like to be able to suggest on that, at that hearing, that in the meantime, is that Mr. Morlock, along with FTB, are able to sit down. I think it's great, Mr. Morlock, that you're willing to take this on, truly. And we have a report out at our hearing on this issue.
Great.
Just so we can get a status report as we're heading towards January, if that works.
Great.
Can I address that in my close?
Yeah, please, absolutely.
If you look at page 3 of your analysis, it indicates that FTB indicated on June 19th that they have on Form 540 room for 5 more funds, 542EZ, 5 more funds, 540NR, the long form, 5 more funds, 541 short form, 6 more funds, 541, 6 more funds. Presently, however, as Senator Morlock appropriately notes, there are 7 VCF bills actively in legislature. Once the tax forms, the analysis says, reach their capacity, FTB has the authority under existing law to implement a querying system under which a new VCF cannot be added to the tax form until an existing VCF is dropped. That's AB 132 by Chavez in 2003. Alternatively, they could add another page, as was indicated earlier, but I do think it merits the attention of this committee and be happy to participate with you.
Great, thank you.
We currently have a motion on the floor on AB 1031, but I wanted to be able to see if we have any additional discussion or debate from the committee. Any additional discussion or debate? Okay, seeing none, Mr. Hertzberg, would you like to close?
I vote.
All right. Mr. Hertzberg is requesting an aye vote. Ms. Lanchester, roll call vote, please.
Oh, perfect.
McGuire?
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. Bell? Hernandez? Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. 5-0.
That is currently a 5-0. That bill is out, and we are closing the roll. I'm sorry, and that was a return the bill to the Senate floor for consideration. That was an amazing motion by Mr. Hertzberg. Thank you so much. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're now moving back to AB 18. Mr. Garcia, this currently enjoys a 3-1 vote. The motion was by Mr. Bell and Ms. Wynn and Mr. Lara. Ms. Lanchester, roll call, please.
Wynn? Hernandez? Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. You have 4-1.
That is a 4-1 vote. That was a due pass to appropriations. We're going to close the roll on AB 18. So, again, AB 18 was a due pass to appropriations. We're closing at 4-1. AB 1031 returned the bill to the Senate floor for consideration. That was a 5-0. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We are adjourned. And great job to the amazing governance and finance staff, as this is most likely going to be our last regular hearing of the legislative session, but we'll only have 8 hearings in the interim. So thank you so much. All right. Thanks. All right.